A woman was at the airport pre-COVID when she learned that her flight had been delayed. So she went off to the gift shop to buy herself a good book to read and a bag of cookies. And then she came back, she sat down, and quickly became engrossed in her book and pretty much oblivious to everything that was happening around her. But then suddenly she noticed that a man was sitting beside her, and he was eating from the bag of cookies next to her. She would take a cookie and eat it, and he would take a cookie and eat it. And she thought, the nerve, right? How rude can you be? And finally it came down to there's just one cookie left in the bag. One cookie left, and to her astonishment, the man took that cookie. He smiled at her, broke it in half, and offered her half of it. She became incensed, so angry that she snatched away both halves of the cookie. She could not remember a time when anyone had been so ungrateful. Well, finally, to her great relief, her flight was called, and she gathered up her things and headed toward the gate, being very careful not to look back at the cookie thief behind her. And when she got settled in on the plane, she sat down in her seat. She began looking through her carry-on for her book. And as she did, she gasped, for there in her carry-on was her bag of cookies, unopened. The bag she had eaten from was the man's sitting next to her, that he had not taken hers, he had been sharing his. And with absolute, I'm sure, mortification and sense of guilt, she realized that he wasn't the cookie thief, she was. Well, have you ever been absolutely sure that things were a certain way, that you had a clear and accurate grasp on reality, only to find out at a later date that you had it completely wrong? Well, it's embarrassing, isn't it? It's embarrassing. But the point here is that we create our reality through the thoughts that we think. That was certainly true for this woman. She thought that the man next to her was a thief and that she was a victim, and so she became incensed. And everything that occurred, that reality for her, was a product of her thinking. And the same is true for us, every moment of every day. You see, we have a thought, we create a story around that thought. And that story becomes our reality. And it triggers our emotions and our responses. In Unity, we have a name for this. It's Unity's third principle. We call it the law of mind action. And it tells us that human beings create their experiences by the activity of their thinking. Or as we like to shorten it, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Now, the simplest example of this would be that if we hold positive thoughts, we tend to have a more positive life experience. And if we hold negative thoughts, we tend to have a more negative life experience. Well, most people get this. We kind of know this. You hear about this glass half empty, glass half full kind of thinking. But, the really exciting, empowering, life-changing realization is that you can choose your thoughts, that we can choose what to think. We can actually choose thoughts that will create the life experience that we want. We can choose, consciously choose, to think that which will make our lives more joyful and fulfilling. What an incredibly powerful ability that we have within us. In his classic book, As a Man Thinketh, author James Allen says this. How many of you read that book, by the way, As a Man Thinketh? It says our life is what we make it by our own thoughts and deeds. It is our own state and attitude of mind which determine whether we are happy or unhappy, strong or weak, sinful or holy, foolish or wise. As in the song that we just sang, we are powerful, creative, spiritual beings. We can create anything we want this life. And it all begins with right thinking. Well, this, of course, is exactly what Jesus taught throughout his ministry. He wanted us to get our thoughts right, to get into that right thinking, so that we would experience the kingdom of heaven. And in one of his parables, it's called the parable of the weeds among the wheat, he explains the importance of separating out those ideas, those thoughts that we have that he would call truth, true ideas that bring us closer to God, versus erroneous ideas that create a sense of separation. So let's see what this parable says. And we find it in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" And he answered, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" What does this mean? You know, in Unity, we interpret the Bible and all of Jesus' teachings, or most of his teachings, metaphysically. And so what does this parable mean symbolically? Well, let's break it down. The sower is our conscious mind that plants the seeds of various thoughts. And the field in which these thoughts are planted is our subconscious mind. The good seed are those thoughts that are in harmony with what we would call the indwelling Christ, the highest expression of the divine in us. And these would be thoughts that are loving and compassionate, positive and constructive. And the weeds are negative thoughts. The weeds are thoughts that are based more on fear, judgment, and unforgiveness. And the enemy that plants these weeds is the overriding belief, an erroneous belief in separation. The idea that we are separate from God and from each other. And if you really think about this, every negative thought that we have, every negative experience that comes from a negative thought, stems from this idea that we are separate, that each of us is out here on our own trying to slug it out, that we're not connected to one another, we're not connected to the divine. But that is error thinking. In Unity, that is what we define as sin, the erroneous thought that we are separate. And so what Jesus is really saying in this parable is that in the garden of our minds, we all have a mixture of wheat and weeds, of positive and negative thoughts, of truth and error. Well, you might expect that he would be telling us, get those negative thoughts out of there, right? You got to dig those out. But he doesn't say that. He says, leave them alone. He says, leave them alone. Instead, put your focus on the true ideas, on the positive, uplifting, uniting, loving thoughts. And as you nurture them, they will grow, they will thrive, and they will outgrow any erroneous thoughts among them. You see, often on the spiritual path, we come into this realization as we do our inner work that there are parts of ourselves we don't really like so much. Is it not true? Maybe there's some ideas or some ways of being, some behaviors or patterns that we wish weren't part of us. And we can become very overzealous in trying to get those out. I want to be more spiritual, right? Let me just get those out of me. But in the process of doing that, in the process of trying to root them out, we may actually uproot parts of ourselves that are also very helpful and useful. And Jesus is really saying, don't try to get these out of you. Don't try to get these traits that you see are negative or these false beliefs. Don't try to get them out of you. Just don't give them any power. Don't give them any power. You see, the whole objective here is one of wholeness. It's of embracing all parts of ourselves at the same time as we rise into the fullness of our spiritual essence. New Thought spiritual author Emmett Fox says this: the secret of spiritual treatment is not to wrestle with the error, which only gives it further life and power, but to destroy it by withdrawing from it just that very energy of belief that gives it its body. Do you get this? You're just withdrawing your attention from it. You're not feeding it. Instead of feeding the negative, you are feeding the positive. Instead of feeding error, you are feeding truth. And then the time of harvest will come. The time of harvest is when we have a clear, conscious contact with God or the divine. And this is when we reap the wheat, which is now so easy to recognize because it has grown up so tall. We take all that spiritual learning and we take it into our own hearts. And it's easy to identify the weeds, which we then, according to the parable, we bundle up and burn. But all it really means is we take that understanding, we transmute it into fuel for our continued growth. Continuing to do our spiritual work. God's kingdom come. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is such a breakthrough concept when you really get it, that we are the masters of our own destiny and that we can create the reality that we most want. You know, people in Unity hear this all the time. This idea, change your thinking, change your life. But how many of us really do it? How often do we consciously change what we're thinking or even recognize what we're thinking to create a better experience for ourselves? Heaven knows this year is giving us lots of opportunity to practice. You know, sometimes during the pandemic, I feel a little bit sad. I feel sad that we can't be together the way we used to be on Sundays. Remember how it was? How joyful, people bursting in the door and all the hugs, being together like that, that beautiful energy. Whew, I miss that. And then I think about our beautiful building. We worked so hard to create, and we haven't been able to really use it yet. That feels really frustrating and disappointing. And if I continue on this vein, thinking about what we don't have right now or what feels like it's missing or different that I am sad about, I can really go down quite the rabbit hole there. Have you ever experienced something like this? Sure. You're carrying on, and pretty soon you start feeling pretty unhappy. So here's what I'm doing. When I notice that happening on that front or any other, I consciously shift my point of focus, and instead I move into incredible gratitude and appreciation for all of you, for this congregation and for previous congregations and even for future congregations, for all we have already created together, and incredibly exciting times ahead for us. As I walk through the building, even though there may not be a lot of people in there, I can walk through the building and open myself to an experience of God. And as I do that, I begin to feel the loving energy of all of you, this congregation, previous congregations, filling every square inch of space in there. I'm so grateful for this consciousness, this incredible consciousness that has steered us through this difficult year. But this consciousness was seeded by our founder, Reverend Judy Meyer. Whether we are together the ways we used to be or not, that consciousness is alive and well and growing and expanding all the time. And I know that soon we will be together again. And oh, won't that be sweet? Imagine how that's going to feel. What we used to take for granted will now feel all the more precious and sweet. And this beautiful dream, this beautiful vision that we are all sharing of that spirit-filled, of a spiritual life center, a thriving center, teeming with activity that touches people's hearts, that lifts their spirits, that changes their lives, that beautiful vision is alive and well. And in the right and perfect way, all of us together will make it happen. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. 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 This is the overriding truth, and it's one of oneness. It's one of God manifesting in and through each of us. James Allen says, dream lofty dreams. And as you dream, so you shall become. You know, each and every one of us is just so filled to overflowing with possibilities. And what a wonderful realization that we can train our thinking, we can choose a train of thought that will unleash those possibilities in our lives. And so for all of you watching today, and for those of you here, if any of you are having a problem in your life, if you're feeling challenged in some way emotionally, I invite you to try this. Try to trace back what you're experiencing to the root thought that began to create that story that created your reality. And then consider choosing a different thought, a small but radical act. You might even pray, God, please help me see this differently. You know, there's always another way to look at things. And if you're stuck, even that simple prayer can bring the new possibilities alive within you. And honestly, even the smallest shift in perspective can have huge results. So let's go back for a moment to the woman with the bag of cookies. Bless her heart. So that woman saw herself as a victim. She saw the man as a thief. She had a very negative experience. But let's think for a moment about what it was like for the man sitting next to her. What was he thinking? What consciousness was he holding? And what experience was he manifesting? I like to think that he was sitting there thinking, well, here we are, both waiting for our flights. And I have this bag of cookies here. There's plenty for both of us. Why not share them? It makes her happy. It makes me happy. I don't even think I'm going to say anything. We just continue to have this time, this moment, because there's plenty for both of us. And as I share, I have the opportunity, I imagine I'm thinking, I have the opportunity to make even this in-between time, even this difficult time of waiting, memorable and sweet. And he did. Let's turn now to our meditation. Let's take a moment to close our eyes and breathe in and let go. Let go into truth, let go into the allness of life. Breathing in and breathing out. Feeling in this moment our oneness with all of the people and all the energy, all the manifestations of life around us. those of us gathered here, as we feel that gentle breeze, just remember our oneness with Spirit. Remember that Spirit is the truth of who we are. Incredibly powerful, creative, spiritual beings. What a gift. I invite you to breathe in and breathe out, a steady flow. Bring to mind, if you have one, any situation in which you might wish to have a shift in your thinking, a shift in your reality. Take a moment to hold that in your consciousness as you ask, how can I see this differently? How, sweet Spirit, might I have a different view in order to be happy and healthy and at peace? Ask the question and listen for your answer for a few moments in the silence. Go forward from this time together with renewed intention to set our thoughts on the course that we want them to be on, to direct the flow of our own lives, and to choose a reality in which we discover, appreciate, and enjoy life, and enjoy it abundantly. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.